Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Really excited to share my first guest with you. She's an award-winning writer, Joanne Liedem Ackerman. She's going to share her forthcoming release of The Far Side of the Desert, a gripping political thriller about family and the incredible capacity for human resilience. And she has a very interesting background, which she'll share more. But she has worked as a journalist, a vice president for Penn International, and former board member of the International Crisis Group, Human Rights Watch, and Save the Children, which have taken her all over the world, including the Middle East and North Africa, and given her insights into culture and politics, human rights issues, and global tensions. And she is joining us right now to talk about her latest book. Again, it's called The Far Side of the Desert. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Thank you and congratulations. Thanks for calling in.
Glad to be on the show. Thank you.
I want to, before we dive into your book, you shared your background as a writer. When did you first find an interest or a passion for writing?
That's so long ago. I think I wrote my first short story in the second grade and my first novel in the fourth grade.
Really?
I was then editor of the high school newspaper and college newspaper and began my professional career as a journalist for the Christian Science Monitor. Okay. But I always wanted to write stories and fiction, so that was always in my head, too.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And I went to undergraduate at Principia College in the Midwest, and then I went to Johns Hopkins writing program in Baltimore, and then I was a journalist for the Christian Science Monitor, and then went back to graduate school at Brown University, also writing, and wrote the first draft of my first novel in that program.
That's wonderful.
But I've always been writing. I mean, you know,
it sounds
pen to
like
paper
it.
Is just an instinct.
Like, well, the name of my show is Get the Funk Out. Did you know that?
That's a good thing. Well, nothing gets the funk out faster for me than writing.
That's why I shared that with you, because I know from a lot of my guests that's a great way to get the funk out. Were you always gravitated towards fiction?
Well, I always wanted to tell stories that were a little bit larger than the journalistic the journalistic requirements, which are to make sure you had the facts right, and that's important to me as well. But I always wanted to get behind the facts into the stories of people. And then I also just love watching life and just trying to take it down and find the words to express what I was seeing and thinking. And it was a way of thinking, is to, you know, put ideas into words. People talk about writer's block, and I've never really had that because I just really enjoy the process of writing. So that's fun for me.
If you do get stuck, do you find taking a walk, or what do you do in your process when you're not
actually
sitting down?
Take a walk, change the scene you're in, and pick the best book of writing on your shelf and read that. I always used to tell my students when I taught that your mentors are on your shelves.
Yes.
So don't worry if you don't know the famous writers or you can't call one up or it's not in your family. Your mentors are on your shelf. So I would read great writing, and I wouldn't feel daunted by it. I'd feel inspired by it and say, wow, look what can be done. And if they can do it, then I can just think the thoughts and get out of my own limitations in my own head.
That's great advice. So let's dive into your new book. When did this idea for The Far Side of the Desert come about?
Okay. The Far Side of the Desert had been in the making for a long time, and as you know, some books and novels write themselves quickly. This one didn't. And probably the very first seed of it was back in the early 90s. I had been elected chair of International Pen's Writers in Prison Committee. Now, International Pen is a global organization, one of the first writers and human rights organizations, founded over 100 years ago. And it works on behalf of connecting literature and writers around the world, but also works on behalf of writers who don't have the freedoms that are then, advocated for by those who do.
Yes.
And the Writers in Prison Committee worked on behalf of writers around the world. And I had been elected chair of that international committee. And we had a big congress in Santiago de Compostela,
okay,
in Spain. And there's a big festival that happened at the same time. It was coincidental. But at the Penn Congress, we had, for the first time, had to go through metal detectors, and we had a guest that was under high security at the time. It's 1993 or 4, and it was Salman Rushdie. Because of the position I had been elected to, I was among a small group that had dinner with Salman, and I began thinking, what would it be like if your whole life you had to sort of evacuate it? So the seed of that idea began there and at the festival. So the opening scene is The Far Side of the Desert is at the festival at Santiago de Compostela.
Okay.
With two sisters and then a brother who's coming, and they're meeting. They're very, you know, high-powered, working all the time family. And they're coming together for a short holiday. And at the festival, there's a terrorist event, and one of the sisters, it's disappeared.
Whoa.
And suddenly, the rest of the family, it's an international, you know, the father's been in foreign affairs and ambassador, go to find her, and they cannot find her. She's off the grid. Nobody reports back to them. And so it's that journey. And it's the journey, the family, the sisters, and what is done to abort terrorism, and also to bring this family together.
Mm.
So it was published as, and probably is, an international political thriller, though that wasn't the medium in which I thought I was writing. I was just writing a novel exploring questions and relationships.
Okay.
And I'm learning a lot. And the book begins in Spain, it takes you to Cairo, it takes you to London, it takes you to Morocco, to Gibraltar, back to Washington. So it has a large geographic palette that reflects what's happening at the time. And it deals with, you know, drug trafficking, human trafficking, financial manipulations, and money laundering as the outside story. The inside story is about the characters.
So I want to ask you, do you integrate places you've traveled to or work assignments into this story?
Well, I've been to everywhere that's in the book, and often more than once, because I'd been there so I could write about it, and then I would go back to fact check everything more than once often. And sometimes to find that things had changed from when I wrote them, but the dateline of the book is 2007, so that's the way things were in 2007.
Okay.
But yes, it does. And I've had the privilege, as I mentioned before we got on the show, if you live long enough, you can do lots of things. And I've had the privilege for various work I've done to be in many places in the world. So, you know,
that's wonderful.
I can go there in my imagination and begin writing.
I could imagine, I mean, being, you know, a former board member of the International Crisis Group, Human Rights Watch. What was it like working with Human Rights Watch?
Well, you know, when I joined the board there, it was very dynamic, but it wasn't nearly as broad and big as it is now. And I was on the board for about 12 years, so I got to see it grow. And the head of it then was a man named Ken Roth, who was one of the legendary human rights activists and lawyers. And Ken asked me if I would chair the Asia Advisory Committee. And I told Ken, I'm not an expert in Asia. He said, yeah, but you know how to bring people together, and there are all these corridors in Asia. So I said, let me think about that.
All right.
And then 9/11 happened.
Mm.
And when 9/11 happened, I mean, that's Asia. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I came on right after 9/11, heading the Asia Advisor Committee, and that was quite dynamic for me. I had a very big and high and interesting learning curve. And at the same time, I had a son who was a Marine and was out in, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan. So and then I went at the same time to head International PEN itself as being the international secretary. So there was a lot going on in my life and imagination at that time. And then there was even more, because I had another son who was a mathematician but also a wrestler and wrestling at the Olympics at the same time. So
what?
It was a very active
Wait a minute.
Time. Yeah, I did. I had one son in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Fought in the Battle of Fallujah, another son who was in the Athens Olympics, and I was taking on the International Secretary of International PEN, all within the same time frame. And this was 2004. So, you know, and then I was writing a novel. I just finished another novel. So I was in high speed during that period of time.
Oh, my gosh.
And but it was interesting in learning and seeing. The world at that time was a much, oddly, a more optimistic place, because we were seeing the fall of authoritarianism at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The Soviet Union was breaking apart.
That's right.
People were turning to democracy, and it was a dynamic time in history.
Yes. I do have a question for you as a writer, and then thinking about your life here with, you know, your boys are incredible lives they're doing, and then you're involved and you're writing and you're traveling all over. Did you feel it was hard to take time and connect with friends because your life was completely unrelatable?
Well, you know, I was living I lived in London for about 6 years. And if you live abroad, it's not unrelatable because it's quite common for people to be moving all over because if you're living in Europe, you know, within an hour and a half, you can be in, you know, 10 or 12 different countries. So my friends who were from there, it was in through Penn, it was not so strange
unlikely,
to be in,
yes.
you know, a conference in Turkey and then you go to Serbia and then you're in Berlin. I mean, it's the world is just much closer at hand than if you're living in the U.S.
Interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, so it was not that odd. I come back and realize sometimes how it seems exotic.
Yes.
But it was quite, you know, it was quite normal for the world I was living in.
Well, your friends here must have been, you know, thinking, please tell me everything you've done and been.
I began my career as a journalist, and a number of my very close friends from that period continued in the field and are international journalists, and they travel more than I do. I mean, they're off covering this world that I'm writing about. But, mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the throes of it. They're covering the war. They're covering other things. So my close friends were, you know, many of them were international journalists. And I live in Washington, D.C., and it's not unusual at all for people in Washington, D.C. to be engaged globally, mm-hmm. you know, to be out in the world. If you're in the World Bank or it used to be, now that they seem to be closing down all our international connections. But, you know, we used to be out in the world. You know, you're working for Voice of America. You're working for the World Bank. You're working for CARE, Save the Children, Human Rights Watch. America is connected to the world and had a voice in that world.
Yes. I know. Things are very different now. I wanted to
momentarily.
Let's hope. I wanted to ask you, do you feel you have changed in some way, maybe have more meaning in your life post-pandemic?
You know, the pandemic really did sort of draw a line under all of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think it changed us in ways we haven't quite come to terms with yet.
I agree.
Coordinated with the whole internet revolution, you know, the whole, everybody is their own spokesman now. I mean, you know, with the hierarchy of, you know, publishing, of journalism, of everything has just sort of been flattened so that everybody is writing stories about everything and publishing about everything. So that all changed, and COVID and pandemic were all part of that. So, yes, the one thing it hasn't changed, if you're a writer, you got to sit down, have your, you know, yourself in a chair and be writing. So the process of writing hasn't changed. The process of publishing has changed a lot.
Oh, yes.
But as a writer, you've got to write. I mean, if you're a novelist, you really need to write almost every day because novels take a long time and they're complex. And, you know, so that process hasn't changed a lot. Getting it out into the world, getting people to, you know, to read The Far Side of the Desert as opposed to the 100 other books they might see regularly. You know, that's modified and changed. But, you know, I write, if I can, every day, but certainly 5 days a week.
That's great.
And I'm writing. And The Far Side of the Desert took quite a long time. It took draft after draft after draft as I was figuring out what it meant, as I was fact-checking. The journalist in me was constantly making a list of facts to check because even though the book is fueled by imagination, I want to be very clear that the facts are accurate. And if they're not accurate, I know they're not, and it doesn't really matter that they're not quite. You know, if it was raining on Thursday rather than Tuesday or something like that. But I really fact-check most that's in my book and make sure my imagination hasn't completely taken me off the grid.
Okay.
So that's, you know, I think the nature of being a writer is you have to write, and that doesn't change.
Yes, yes. What advice would you give someone who's kind of in a moment of, you know, they want to be a writer, but they feel like it's so hard to break in, you know, they have something. Just what advice would you give them?
Write every day and make sure you're reading good writing. You know, you can't want to be a writer and not be writing. It's like wanting to be a tennis player and never getting on the courts.
Yes, great analogy.
Wanting to be a wanting to be a singer and never singing a song. The only way you become a writer is to write, because you have to learn how to take the ideas and what you're seeing in your head and get them into words. And that's the process. You wouldn't think I'm going to be a basketball player and just talk about it.
Right.
You get on the court and have to do it. And you might not be that good. You might not be good for a long time. But unless you were out there doing it and doing the exercises and doing everything it took, you'll never get there. So my advice to any writer is to write whatever it is. If you're just writing in a journal, or you're writing letters to friends, or you just get the ideas in your head onto paper.
Definitely.
Every day. And read people and read people who do it well, and sort of study how did they do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll happen. Enough practice. You'll get back. You can't promise anybody what will happen, but you can promise that they will get better.
Yes. No,
and
that's
better,
great
and
advice.
By doing it.
And you never know where that writing will lead you, whether it's screenwriting or, you know, your next position somewhere or traveling overseas.
You never know. And also, you never know how you'll touch somebody by what you've written.
Oh, that's a
great Even
point.
If it's only, you know, a few people or 100 people or more than that. Because you're writing to get what's in your head down as clear and truthfully as you can. And then your hope is that what you've seen or had to say will touch or move or inspire somebody else. But, you know, we have no control over that.
That's very true.
So,
yes.
But you try to be true to what you're writing. But it's not just for you. It is hopefully to communicate with somebody else.
Yes. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Joanne Leadham Ackerman about her new book, The Far Side of the Desert. And I wanted to ask you, are you on a book tour? Are you doing things virtual? What's your plan for your book?
Well, the hardcover of The Far Side of the Desert came out in a year ago.
Okay.
And the paperback is just coming out. So with the hardcover, I was on much more of a tour, going to bookstores and giving readings and everything. And I'm doing some of that now, but a lot now I'm doing through this kind of program, through podcasts and radio.
Good.
And hoping to find a whole new and broader audience than just the very faithful friends who all came out. And, you know, it's wonderful, because it's like seeing old friends, high school friends I haven't seen for a while.
That's great.
But I'm hoping The Far Side of the Desert will find an even broader and wider audience. So I'm hoping those who've read it will buy the paperback and give it to friends. And
mm-hmm.
Those who haven't will buy the hardcover or the paperback and enjoy it. It is a story that is fast-paced. I do think and hope it touches the heart of people who read it, because I learned a lot in writing it, and just in terms of the relationship of these two sisters, their relationship to the world, and how what they saw and were able to do was in fact a certain kind of answer to, you know, terrorism, the chaos that's out there, but it wasn't an easy answer. So, but hopefully the bottom line for a book is you want to keep turning the pages.
True.
And hopefully you'll want to keep turning the pages.
Do you ever envision your books, like for instance this one, becoming a screenplay?
Inshallah, you know, that'd be great. You
yeah.
know, I have a son who's a very
yes.
pretty well-known writer now, and two of his are now. One's moving, I hope, into a movie. It's been signed on, and the other into a television series.
Fantastic.
So it happens. It happens.
All right, let's give him a shout out. What is his name?
My son is Elliot Ackerman.
Okay.
He's a very fine writer. He's managed once. He was a highly decorated Marine. And then when he finished doing that, he started writing. And from his first novel on, he's published a book every year.
Whoa.
He was finalist for the National Book Award in 2017. And he writes fiction and nonfiction, and he's very good. My mother used to say, your children to leap off your shoulders, and so he has leapt off my shoulders, and
that's wonderful.
I'm proud of him both as a writer and as a person and as a dad.
And where is Elliot located?
He lives half time in Washington, half time in New York, and or is on the road.
Okay.
You know, he also has a very international palette in terms of what he writes.
Like mom.
Like mom, but even in a whole different league.
That's wonderful.
He's quite good.
I really find it so fascinating, your background, having traveled all over the world, which I have not, which I would love to. And do you feel like this has given you so much more purpose and meaning? Like, I don't feel like you're thinking about retirement anytime soon, because why would you?
Why would I? Yeah, why
would you?
I grew up in a family that only counted birthdays up to age 20, and then, you know, you just didn't count the years, which I found is a very healthy thing, because I honestly forget my birthday, and people say, how old are you? And I have to stop and think about it.
Okay.
So I really don't think of years. I think of ideas. And
oh, I like that.
So it's, you know, I think we want to stay active with our ideas and stay engaged with the world that we're in, with the perspective that we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, my perspective is going to be different than somebody who's, you know, spent 20 years on this planet, and I spent more. But it ultimately, it's the perspective of the human heart. That's what we're looking at, and that goes on and on and on. So, you know, yeah. That's what I mean. And if somebody hasn't traveled a lot, there's wonderful literature of people that haven't traveled much beyond their backyard, but boy, do they know how to write about their backyard, because they're okay. Looking into the human, you know, soul, and
yes.
That's not a matter really of geography. In fact, the more you travel, in my experience, the more you see the commonality of all of us in the most exotic places. And I often have said, you find a mother with a child, and that mother can be in China or Azerbaijan or Singapore or Vietnam or, you know, Washington, D.C., and there are commonalities that just are there. And the same for fathers, I'm sure. But so there's a universal human spirit.
That's
ultimately what the writer is trying to get to. So,
yes.
And if you haven't traveled and can't travel, just read the books about it, you know, because there you'll get a sense of things. There's some wonderful novels of writers who, there's one I remember years ago called, I think it was Imagining Argentina by Larry Thornton.
Okay.
And it was a wonderful book. It won awards, if I'm remembering correctly. But Larry had never been to Argentina. But he wrote such a powerful book, and it's about the difficult time when you know, there was an oppressive government and people were disappearing. So part of it is just getting your mind to open up to other places,
yes.
Whether you get there or not.
And I have that sometimes even seeing an amazing movie. So
yes,
don't
absolutely.
You feel changed when you've seen something and it just, you know, you find yourself shifting in your thought or your perception of things?
Absolutely. And it's done. The key in my observation is to, whatever you're writing or seeing, just do it as truthfully as you can to your own sort of heart, what you see. But definitely, you know, we learn the world more and more these days from what we see and read. And The Far Side of the Desert, I didn't a lot of research, so parts of it I didn't know. I had to really research, and then I would go to the place. And so a part of this is set in the desert, and I have been in the Sahara Desert where it's set, but not for very long. So I had to do lots of reading about the Sahara Desert and how you get along if you're out there, and what is it if you're, you know, lost. And
whoa.
You know, I had to do a lot of research about that. In fact, one friend of mine who has known me since summer camp, I think, said, "Joanne, how did you know what it was like to be in the middle of a windstorm and a sandstorm?" And you've never been there. I said, "I know, but I've been in the desert and I've done lots of research, and you know, I think people say you got it right." But
yeah.
You know, so you take your experience and you broaden it. But that's what books are for.
Yes. Yeah,
that's why we study more than ourselves.
Definitely. I had an interesting thing happen. I know we have to wrap up soon, but during the pandemic, a friend of mine, Carrie Hannon, who's mentored me, she's an author of over 15 books, she said, she posted something on LinkedIn. There's a fellowship with Columbia School of Public Health and the Age Boom Academy. And I looked into it and I thought, you know, I'm not that big of a journalist, you know, like I just negated myself right away. And then there was an email, and they said, if you have questions, call up. So I asked, I said, are you only taking journalists from, you know, big stations? And they said, no, just apply. Well, I ended up getting it.
Go
and
ahead.
It was amazing. Thank you. It was an amazing fellowship, and I loved it because I got to connect with people from all over and learn from them and you know, learn about ageism and intergenerational connections. And when we isolate someone who's older, let's say someone who's in retirement home, well, they're going to become depressed because they're not around people. And when you give them purpose and meaning, that's tremendous. So I say that because I just find it so fascinating, the different things you've accomplished, and it's very inspiring.
Well, you know, that experience you had is, you know, hopefully very encouraging for a lot, because the first thing we tend to do sometimes is limit ourselves.
Oh,
you know, say, oh, well, you know, I'm not X, I'm not, well, look, I'm not that person.
Right.
If we can get rid of our own limits without sort of being, you know, braggadocious, you know, saying we're great, but just say, let's see what's out there. Let me learn. Let me open my thoughts.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the easiest and almost guaranteed ways I have found, and I've, you know, people have come to me for advice, is to start every day, go to bed at night, wake up in the morning with gratitude.
Mm.
What am I grateful for today? Even if it's a little thing, because that will open your thought of where the good is. Because, okay, that's good, I can see, even if it's just a little thing.
Yes.
And it opens thought to what the possibilities are and where good and how good can come into your life and how you can see it. And then once you do that, then you begin to see things you don't, that's already there. You know, I have a Substack, and give a little shout out for that.
Yes.
Called them On the Yellow Brick Road.
On the Yellow Brick Road.
It's free. It only comes out once a month.
Okay.
But in the last one I just wrote, I was on a beach and I was looking, and I had gone down to Florida just to see the sun and be warm, and I have relatives down there, and it was cold. It's 40 degrees. It was raining most of the days. And, you know, I've never been more productive. I wrote like 12,000 words that week. But I was on the beach, and it was so cloudy. But there were little glimmers of sunlight. You could see them off the cloud bouncing. So you knew the sun was there. And then what occurred to me is, I wrote something saying the sun was struggling to come through. And they went, no, the sun isn't struggling to come through. The sun is there. It's just the clouds are covering it. And
yes.
I thought, wow, isn't that true? The answers are there.
Perspective.
It's just things are covering it, and our thoughts are cloudy.
Yes.
And that was just a little thing. By writing, I could see some wisdom I hadn't seen before, because I was sort of writing and describing, and the ideas came.
Yeah.
So the sun is always there, but lots of things clouded up for us. So
that's so true.
It's nice for you seeing it.
I like that you shared that. I actually start my morning, I'll have coffee very early, and lately I'll look out the window and look at the sky, and I think, wow, this is the perks of being, you know, an early bird. And sometimes the sky is like pink, or, you know, just
bright blue.
And I'm thinking,
wow. I get up really early, especially if I'm not in the city.
Yeah.
For the very same reason. And I hear the birds sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you're in Southern California, I lived in L.A. for 11 years, so I know you have even more of an advantage, because often the weather is pretty decent.
Yes.
You know?
Except for last week.
Pretty good. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are problems. I know that. But for the most part, it's 72 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all perspective. So, Joanne, where can people find out more about you? I've really enjoyed this.
Good. Me too. Well, I have a website, www.joannelledom-ackerman.com. So, Joanne Leadham Ackerman. You know, www.com, and that gives you a lot of the information. And then a Substack, and anybody that would put my name in Google will see the Substack and see the website and others. And you know, my books are available on all online booksellers. Sometimes they're in the store, but if they're not in the store, they're available on online booksellers.
Fantastic.
The Substack is free, so sign up.
Okay, you know, I could really see you also lecturing to college campuses to.
Yes.
You probably already do this, but, you know, sharing your experiences as a writer, journalist, and I just think it would be tremendous. Poets and writers.
I was on the Poets and Writers Board for 30 years, so I highly...
Of course you were.
Shout out for Poets and Writers. Yeah, no, I love to. I taught at NYU. I taught at Occidental College. I taught at UCLA.
Beautiful.
You know, I've taught in the past, and I love, you know, meeting with students. I love doing book clubs. I enjoy it because it's something that I enjoy doing, so I enjoy sharing it and answering questions. So anybody that, you know, is interested in me talking to a book club, just send the email. You'll see it in my Substack and on my website,
okay.
The way to be in touch.
Great. Give your website one more time.
Yes, it's www.joannelledomackerman.com.
Great.
JoannelledomAckerman.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this. This is wonderful.
I look forward to staying in touch.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was Joanne Leadham Ackerman talking about her new book that is out. All the details on the book, which is called The Far Side of the Desert. The show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. We're going to take a little break, but if you're not familiar with KUCI, you can head over to our website, kuci.org. Check out our socials, KUCIFM. And if you're interested in being a guest on Get the Funk Out, you can send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI.org. We'll be back in just a moment. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at KUCI.org or check out the latest program guide.